All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's, what do you say, let's get started with today's broadcast.
May I ask you, was it a sexual relationship?
Connie, I just want to get started with the show first before I answer any questions, if you understand that. Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, you know, I don't promise you the best show in radio. I don't promise you the most excitement. I don't promise you the most outrageous, any of that. But I do promise you a new show every week. Even when it's filled with reruns of past material, I wrap it around with a new frame, a new thing. So it's a new show. It may have old stuff in it, but it's a new show. I never, never, ever come in here and say, oh, just play the dat from last week. So if you ever hear that, ladies and gentlemen, on your local NPR or public radio station, it ain't me doing it. You see what I'm saying? I'm not pointing fingers at any station in our wonderful lineup of affiliates. But if you ever hear the same show being played over and over again, that means some kid forgot to tape it on, you know, and then they, rather than apologize and or call up and say, oh, could you please feed it again and we'll pay them, they just say, ah, screw the listeners. Put the old one in. See what I'm saying? All right, so that's that. And for my internet listeners, yes, the last 2 weeks worth of shows, you've been hearing the truncated versions, and I've inquired about that, and the official reason is Jason was having a baby. So if you want to hear the whole show, get back to the internet this week. It should be fixed, okay? So So, ladies and gentlemen, it's been an interesting week. But before we get to the news of this week, I want to just point out a couple of developments in the news business generally, in case they have escaped your notice. First of all, we have passed a landmark, a benchmark, a watermark, a mark. It is now no longer de rigueur to deliver the news on television sitting down. It was Tom Brokaw who started it. He stood up about 3 years ago, I think, after much, well, nothing happens on television without way too much consideration. Nothing. There's a rule for you. Nothing happens on American television without way too much consideration of whether it should be done or not. So after, you can bet, 24 meetings, Tom Brokaw started standing up for part of the NBC Nightly News. I don't think that's why he's leading in the ratings, as you know. I think it's the repetition of the word tonight. But anyway, now we've seen Dan Rather standing up. Imagine, Dan Rather standing up. Pete Jennings is still sitting down, but now the gang at CNN are standing up. The people at MSNBC were always standing up because they were halfway to being fired anyway. So why not? Why get comfortable, you know? So the look of news on television is now drifting inexorably in the direction of standing up. And I predict that within 4 years, no serious news person on television, and you can parse that phrase any way you like, will be caught dead. Well, will be caught dead sitting down, but will be not be caught delivering the news sitting down. It's a standing up news world, ladies and gentlemen. And secondly, notice the number of urgent promotional announcements you see on television these days for a news story. A very important story, apparently, that they've just uncovered and will be revealing to us tomorrow night. My only question is, if it's news, how come they're saving it for a day? How come it's not on tonight? Hello. Welcome to the show.
On my knee, man, I had a dreadful night. I'm back in the USSR. You don't know how USSR. Well, the Julie Gray girls really knocked me out. They leave the West behind. And my strong girls make me sing and shout. That Georgia's always on my mind. USSR. Well, the Yellow Crane girls really knocked me out. They leave the West behind. And Moscow girls make me sing and shout. And Georgia's always on my mind. Hey, you don't know how lucky you are, boys. Back in the USSR.
Oh,
From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, back where the show dome belongs, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, he's right. It doesn't sound horrible through these headphones. It just sounds Russian, vaguely Russian. Hello, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to the show. Apropos of my musing a few weeks ago about the ubiquitousness of the .com spawned phrase "powered by" in our current media landscape, I'm in debt to a listener in Chicago for passing along this. It's the obituary page of the Chicago Tribune, which bears this large notice, much larger than any of the announcements of people dying. ChicagoTribune.com death notices are powered by Legacy.com. Okay. And death is powered by Death.com, I guess. I don't know. That's guesswork on my part. Hey, what a week. From the Big House to the White House, the Al Sharpton story. I can see the TV movie now. Al Sharpton served 3 months. He served some time for a protest. And 2 days after he got out of the slammer, announced that he was considering running for the presidency. Al Sharpton, ladies and gentlemen. No, Tawana Brawley will not be his vice presidential nominee, and I'll thank you not to mention that again. Al Sharpton, ladies and gentlemen, from the Big House to the White House. Yeah, somebody's got to run. Al, it's one of the two. It's going to be an Al. That's what we know so far. It's definitely going to be an Al. After this summer, you know, I'm thinking about redirecting my career goals anyway. Because I didn't know on career day in high school, they did not tell me that there was such a job as psychologist for reality television show. I didn't know that job existed. It's such a good, damn good job, you know? Just counseling the people who eat bugs. What's wrong with that? No, it's you're just afraid of the fear itself of the bugs, not of... They have... Every one of these shows, apparently, I know Big Brother does, has an onboard shrink. Because, you know, somebody could go nuts, and then where would they be? Well, they'd be here. This past Tuesday's episode of Big Brother appeared to take the concept of primetime product placement to a new level, according to the trade paper Variety. A so-called luxury challenge on Tuesday's segment had the Big Brother house guests, you know, these are people who are trapped in a house in the valley, like much of the rest of the people who live in the valley, trapped in a house in the valley for 3 months, had the Big Brother house guests competing for a shot at a screening of American Pie 2. That's their prize. And people who are trapped at a screening of American Pie 2 were competing for the right to be trapped in a house in the valley instead. To win the prize, the players had to break through a block of ice and grab a ticket frozen in the middle. The word blockbuster was mentioned several times during the competition. Immediately following the end of the segment, CBS broadcast a 30-second commercial for Blockbuster Video, a corporate cousin of the network. Later in the show, producers aired 10 seconds of the film's trailer. The CBS representative and Big Brother executive producer Arnold Shapiro said, "No money had changed hands. It's coincidental synergy," according to CBS, noting that the word blockbuster is a fairly common adjective for a movie. A hit movie? Hyping the movie or blockbusters, according to Shapiro, were not considerations. "It would never cross my mind to do that at all," he said. A Universal spokesperson confirmed that the studio did not pay a dime to show the clip. Mm-hmm. Okay. Truth, ladies and gentlemen, it's such a rare commodity these days, don't you find? Now, here's something. I was advocating this, a version of this, a while back. For our new listeners, or for those who've been hearing the same show for the last 3 weeks, let me refresh. The idea being that our privacy is under attack. You know that. Well, I know that you know that, because I've been, of course, monitoring your email. But our privacy is under attack. And privacy law is a very weak area of the law. And the private information about you is worth money. That's why it's under attack, because people can amass this information and sell it to advertisers who can more directly target you. You right there. So my premise was, a very robust area of the law that would be useful in this regard is the copyright law. Copyright your life. Then if somebody wants the information about you, they can pay you for it. Otherwise, it's copyright infringement, and there are a lot of lawyers who are good at that. So here, now, that was my suggestion about 6 months ago here on this air. This week, a privately held corporation in the United... This is from last week. This is from, I believe, the BBC's news service. A privately held corporation in the United States is trying to persuade famous individuals to copyright their DNA. The DNA Copyright Institute in San Francisco wants stars to use its services to strengthen their legal position should anyone decide to clone them against their will. Okay. So if you want to clone Tom Arnold against his will... Oh, I'm sorry, stars. Most scientists disapprove of the idea of trying to clone human beings, but the DNA Copyright Institute's founder, Andre Crump, told the BBC he believed it would not be difficult to find someone to carry out the cloning procedure. It's not going to be expensive. It's not going to require a giant laboratory. It's going to be very easy to do once they figure out all the kinks, he said. Mr. Crump said that getting hold of a famous person's DNA against their will would not be difficult and that enough DNA to generate a clone was left behind by a person talking on the telephone. Of course, stars don't talk on the telephone. We have people to do that for us. His firm offers clients the chance to have a DNA test and turn the results into a format that can be copyrighted. So you're going to trust him with your DNA, you see. Clients can establish copyright protection guaranteeing legal recourse so that their personal DNA pattern cannot be duplicated in printed, electronic, photographic, or biological form, the corporation says. Copyright protection would not necessarily prevent someone from being cloned against their will, Mr. Crump said, but it will offer them a legal remedy. I still say, just copyright your life. Just your life, my life. And then every day, update it with, you know, all the things you've done. It doesn't have to be descriptive, just, you know, your choices, your purchase. They only care about is your purchasing choices and what you read and look at. They don't care about what you're feeling. I care about what you're feeling, ladies and gentlemen, but they don't. So, you know, it would be relatively... Daryl Hannah, who appears with Val Kilmer and Christian Slater in the upcoming movie, has sold her Calabasas area ranch for slightly more than $1.7 million. Hannah has had plans to buy another property closer to the ocean, where she may build, according to West Side sources. It's a good idea, Daryl. The ocean's a good thing. The ranch on about 6 acres has a large lighted riding arena, a barn, a tack room, a... tack room, not a tack room, and a country English-style home built in 1980. So bring your horse. The house has 6 bedrooms. Hey, bring 5 horses and 4 baths and 3,100 square feet. It also has a living room with a soaring ceiling and a stone fireplace. Natural features on the ranch include giant oak trees, riding trails. Riding trail is a natural feature. It's been there for eons, the riding trail. Natural features include riding. I'm reading this, ladies and gentlemen. A seasonal stream and small waterfalls. And tennis legend Jimmy Connors and his wife have sold their Santa Ynez Valley Ranch. Hey, that's right near Neverland, isn't it? That's right, kids. For just under $3.2 million. They've had plans to stay in the area, but in smaller quarters now that their children are grown. Isn't that interesting? They're moving out of there because their children are too big. Somebody else in the area is, I guess, staying as his children grow. To a ripe young age. The 71-acre ranch has a main house with 5 bedrooms and about 9,000 square feet, plus 2 guest houses, barns with offices, and horse breeding facilities. All right, sir. The grounds also have a pool and tennis court. His wife is a Playboy playmate. Who's now in the pickle business. I'm sorry, that's what it says. Sue me, ladies and gentlemen. That's the hot problem. Now, other things that may be... just under the radar of the news, senior Bush administration officials are pressuring the European Union to abandon new restrictions on genetically modified foods. The Europeans, you see, ladies and gentlemen, are suspicious enough about genetically modified foods to want them to be identified, to be labeled. And the European Union is so regulating in a series of... regulations which have received preliminary approval last month. U.S. officials now say that discriminates against U.S. products. U.S., of course, the world leader in agricultural biotechnology. Hey, we're cloning stars. What are you still back with the corn? Undersecretary of State Alan P. Larson, the State Department's senior diplomat assigned to economic issues, called the new restrictions trade disruptive and discriminatory because the Europeans want us to label foods that include genetically. For instance, Larson said the European regulations would require that American crushed soybean oil bear a label, while European cheeses and wine made with biotech enzymes would not be covered. Are European cheeses and wine made with biotech enzymes? I don't know. According to Alan Larson, they are. Larson said the administration's immediate focus is on lobbying European governments to amend the regulations before they take effect. The dispute could also harden. Well, it doesn't say here. This is the Washington Post not saying whether the wines and cheeses do have biotech enzymes. European officials chafe at the pressure, saying the administration is trying to impose U.S. acceptance of biotech food on a European public that does not believe these products are safe, despite scientists' claims. We're seeing an illustration of American unilateralism, says Tony Vanderhagen, a European Commission representative in Washington. There are basic psychological differences between American consumers and those in Europe, where genetically modified products are not accepted, he says. Requiring food labels is a way of offering choice to consumers and restoring their confidence in food. And it doesn't respond to the allegation of biotech enzymes in European wines and cheeses, so we'll regard that as a non-issue, won't we? What's Bill Clinton up to, you ask? He's not labeling anything. He's appearing in Las Vegas. He's in Las Vegas to address a convention of 8,000 women sales representatives from Miki, a Japanese company that manufactures vitamins and a supplement made from prune extract. It's a long way down, isn't it? No matter how much they're paying, it's a long way down. 8,000 women who sell prune extract in Vegas. That's where Bill Clinton is this weekend. And finally, at the top of the week's news, ladies and gentlemen, road humps that automatically disappear, road humps being like road bumps or speed humps, that automatically disappear if a driver is traveling at a safe speed are now being tested in the United Kingdom. This could discourage drivers from repeatedly slowing down and speeding up again. What's the matter with that? Oh, it has been shown to increase total air pollution. Yeah. Transcom speed bumps are filled with air and have a pressure gauge that instantly determines the speed at which a vehicle is traveling. If a driver is below the speed limit, the bump deflates. If they're going too fast, the device's gauge blocks the escape of air and turns the bump into an obstruction. I have this question, ladies and gentlemen. I know people in residential neighborhoods, residential streets, don't want folks trying to escape traffic, speeding down their streets. I'm aware of that. And I'll put up with the menace of speed humps or speed bumps. You know they are different. And if those people will put up with the menace of slowing down fire and other emergency vehicles coming to their aid in an emergency because of the humps or the bumps. But here's where my hackles get raised. When people on those little residential streets go one step further, as they are all over Southern California now, as they are blocks from here, the Le Chaux Dome, and say, you know, we don't like being near something that draws enough traffic that people might be tempted to turn down our street at all. So they lobby city officials, compliant, complacent city officials, who roll over and install barriers so that you can no longer turn onto these people's streets. That's right. They turn their public thoroughfare into a quasi-private street. Now, my question is this. When is the city going to take those streets off my tax bill? Because I paid for them, didn't I? I believe I did. I believe I paid for all the public streets in my vicinity, as did you. And if some little group of folks who like peace and quiet, lobby the city to have obstructions placed so that I can no longer use that street, it's fine with me. Have a little private street. You pay for it, not me. Okay? You're welcome.
let's do it here. So I'm sitting at a bar in Guadalajara. In walks a guy with a faraway look in his eyes. He said, I've got a powerful horse outside. Climb on the back, I'll take you for a ride. I know a little place we can get there for the break of day. I said, in these shoes, no way, Jose. I said, honey, let's stay right here. Doubt you'd survive. I said, honey, let's do it.
This is the show, ladies and gentlemen. One channel or two, which would you like? Oh, we've got two now. Thank you. Please give, won't you? Ladies and gentlemen, this is Southern California, whence this broadcast originates, although we're heard around the world in one channel or two. And California in general, of course, has been known as the freeway capital of the world for so very long now, since the invention of freeways. Would be, wow. More than 50 years since the Pasadena Freeway was built. This week, Governor Gray Davis dedicated part of what may be the last freeway ever built, in at least in California. You guys may have some more. We're quitting. We're quitting the field. We're the kings. We're quitting winners. Standing atop eight lanes of grooved pavement and pristine yellow stripes. This is the New York Times writing. Governor Gray Davis dedicated the latest section of freeway to be built in California and declared that the project would be the last. This was the Foothill Freeway. The 210, don't you know? We've stopped giving them names. Just to add to the confusion. Because we have the 210, the 610, the 510, the 1050, the 5-4, 5-5, 6-5. It's better that way, isn't it? Governor Davis said that even after this, this was like a segment of the completion of the Foothill Freeway. So it's not done yet. But even after the 28-mile stretch is completed, which serves these booming suburbs in San Bernardino County. Look, wait, quiet. You can hear him boom right now. Hear that? He said the state of California would still spend large amounts of money on freeways just to improve them, not to add to them. He said, did Gray Davis, the primacy of the automobile in transportation planning is over. But according to Brian Taylor, director of the Institute for Transportation Studies at UCLA, the bottom line is that transit use is not increasing nearly as fast as transit expenditures. We don't ask drivers to pay the cost of their driving. So while Gray Davis is calling for a shift in priorities, in spending priorities, in the direction of public transportation, it would seem that really the major change that has to occur, don't you agree, ladies and gentlemen, is a cultural one.
It was a time of transfers, tickets, and tokens. A time of songs we don't quite remember, but we'll never forget.
It's the number two train. You don't know where it goes. It's the number two train. You don't know where it goes.
Now those hits are back again for the first time. Graytel Records presents Songs of Mass Transit. All your favorites about life aboard public transportation, sung by the original artists for the first time.
Oh, I'm crazy about the Crosstown Bus. You know I'm crazy about the Crosstown Bus. I'm gonna get on the Crosstown Bus and ride it till it's in the barn.
Two CDs or three cassettes, or one CD and two cassettes, or two CDs and one cassette, full of the songs that recall lazy days of strap hanging and thrilling mornings of blasting through turnstiles.
It's a pink subway car, mid subways on the wall. The doors open slowly if they open up at all. Pink subway car, you're close to all your pals. You're giving up your seat to a bunch of pretty gals.
Music that brings back steel wheels on tracks.
Baby, you can ride my train. It's so relaxing on the brain. Baby, you can ride my train. And maybe I love you.
And a crazy little thing called a jitney. Here's a perfect gift for anyone who's ever known what it's like to ride the whole route at a discount.
Lord, won't you buy me a 20-ride pass? Don't want to stand up, want to sit on my ass.
For the first time, Songs of Mass Transit is not sold in any store. But now you can order Songs of Mass Transit through this special TV offer on the radio for the first time.
I want to ride it near and I want to ride it far. It's a pink subway car.
Songs of Mass Transit from Graytel Records. Enjoy it again for the first time.
For rush orders, buy the delivery boy some coffee. Call now.
Smaller, streamlined.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get right down to it. Gary Condit really would have been better advised to have O.J. do the interview. You know, O.J. would have done it better. I watched him testify. I know for a fact O.J. could have done that, could have pulled that one off better than... Gary Condit, ladies and gentlemen, Congressman Gary Condit, I believe has not yet succeeded in dispelling all suspicion of his involvement in the disappearance of Chandra Levy. But I believe that he has clearly now marked himself as a prime suspect in the disappearance of Gary Condit, which I believe is imminent. In case you missed it, and I'm sure you've heard all about it, but the interview with Connie Chung, here's a selection. Here's just three questions Connie Chung asked him during the course of the 30-minute interview. Here's the first question.
May I ask you, was it a sexual relationship?
And here's his answer.
Connie, I've been married for 34 years, and I've not been a perfect man, and I've made my share of mistakes. But out of respect...
Oh, come on. Don't do that. Dat machines, ladies and gentlemen, don't you love them? We're going to give it one more chance, aren't we?
Specific request from the Levy family. I think it's best that I not get into those details about Chandra Levy.
All right, so that was the first answer. Now here's the second question and the second
Can
answer.
You tell us?
Oh, all right, forget it. He just gave the same answer over and over and over again. I've been married 34 years. Wait a minute. Should we just hammer that dat machine with a telephone while we're at it? Sure. There we go. I've been married 34 years. I'm not a perfect man. I've made my share of mistakes, but out of a concern for my own family and out of a request from the Levy family. Check those prepositions, Gary. I don't believe that you should be asking these questions or I should be giving these answers. And I have the tape of this, but of course it won't play. Please send money. He also revealed one of the weirdest aspects of this story so far in complaining how this whole episode has been rough on him and his family. Gary Condit said they've spread stories that his wife has no thumbs. Here's a story I know they're spreading. The attorney for Anne Marie Smith, Jim Robinson, in rebutting Gary Condit's denial of an affair with the stewardess or ex-stewardess, says his client, the said stewardess or ex-stewardess, can prove the affair so easily that this isn't even sporting. He said Smith's phone records show many phone calls from Condit, that Smith was given the same gold bracelet he gave Levy, and that Condit ex-bodyguard Vincent Flamini says he knew all about the affair. She can describe every inch of his apartment in detail, Attorney Robinson told the New York Daily News. He's got no pictures on any walls, and everything is done in black and white. Quoting, and how many women who haven't slept with him know that he shaves his entire body hair, unquote. So his wife has no thumbs, he has no body hair. This is what we know so far. What is known up to now, ladies and gentlemen, about the Gary Condit deal. Meanwhile, somebody else has just returned to the radar screen. Newt Gingrich. Yes, it's welcome back time for Newt. For months, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, which should be trusted to keep track of this guy, he has been writing personal reviews of books he likes and quietly posting them on Amazon.com. 47 reviews now posted. He ranks as a top 500 reviewer. He has his own page on Amazon, complete with a biography, photograph, and a list of the many books he has critiqued. I do it for the fun of it, says Newt. He has read 24 books in the 7 months he's been doing this. That would be one book every 9 days, 13 nonfiction, 11 fiction, about evenly divided, 40 pages a day, about 15,000 words a day, almost 1,000 words an hour over a waking day. Wow. Friends were always asking me what I was reading, and so I thought it would be nice to write reviews, he said. Half the things I read are light fiction, while the rest relate to politics, technology, and warfare. A Gingrich spokesman said the Georgia Republican would someday like to be ranked in Amazon.com's top 10, but it would probably mean reviewing romance novels, something the speaker is not likely to do. 665 readers so far have taken the time to call Gingrich's reviews helpful. I believe he's writing another one right about now.
Stephen King's new novel deserves not only to be a blockbuster, it deserves to be an entire urban renewal project. Hello?
Nighty, sweetie. I thought I'd get your machine, honey. I never dreamed that I'd...
Hi, Mom. How's the home?
Oh, it's fine, honey. You know, this is my favorite season, summer.
Oh, yes.
They show us pictures of corn on the cob at dinner time.
That's nice, Mom.
So, sweetie, I'd ask you how the house is, but I might as well ask you and Dick Army.
Mom, as you know, I'm in the private sector now, trying to earn back some of the money that my first two divorces have siphoned away. But that, as Deming and Drucker have observed, is the magic of the marketplace is diluted by the corrupt power of the trial lawyers. Did you know that Marianne was trying to get custody of my e-book reader?
Oh, honey, you've got plenty of time. You can save your money now and read things for yourself.
Mother, an e-book reader isn't a person, it's a piece of software. You know that. You read my columns, don't you?
Well, I do sometimes, honey, but sometimes Trudy takes them and makes little hats out of them.
Well,
I must say, as kitschy as it is, it does look cute.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mom, it is a good couple of weeks before the next holiday to what do I owe the pleasure of this distraction? I mean, I am in the middle of reading the new Tom Clancy.
Oh, sweetie, that's like the new Bob Dylan. You keep expecting that they show up, and they never do.
But,
no, sweetie, I was calling to see if you were as upset as I am about the interview.
Me with Charlie Rose? I think I've looked better,
no,
but...
No, honey.
You know, less butterballish, if you...
Sweetie, I'm talking about Gary Condit and Connie Chung.
Gary Condit. You know, Mom, I admired the hell out of that man. He was the first Democrat to sign on to the Contract with America.
Well, honey, isn't his district incredibly rural and conservative? I mean, it makes your old district look like a lesbian bar in Honolulu by comparison, doesn't it?
Mother, that analogy is so incredibly bizarre that were it not for its fatuousness, it would be obscene.
Well, sweetie, I have gone off my diet once or twice, but fatuous, I think, is putting it a little strongly. What? Notice I use the adverbial form.
Yes, I...
But, Nudie, didn't you recoil at the weasel behavior?
Mm-hmm, I did indeed.
And weren't you disgusted by the transparently self-protective tactics?
I thought it was tactically a wash. I just think that there were grotesquely disturbing problems with the execution.
The execution? Mm-hmm. Oh, Nerdy, please. I think the retards must be the hardest ones to kill.
Mom, we don't...
But, sweetie, weren't you appalled by the obvious over-preparation?
Of course, but...
But you have to expect that of a Connie Chung.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you remember Nudie.
Yes.
She's the one who tricked me into saying... That thing about Hillary Clinton that rhymes with witch.
No, of course, Mom.
But it isn't witch, which she knew all along. Anyway, honey, mm-hmm. Didn't you think she was trying to send a message to Diane and Barbara that I've got balls of steel, be careful they don't hit you in the butt on your way out?
That wasn't precisely the... Listen, Mom, I haven't been watching television. You know, frankly, between the book reviews and the new wife, I haven't had time.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry. How's that going?
Well, I'm reading a book every 9 days, 40 pages a day, so...
I meant the marriage, Nudie.
So did I. We're getting a great hit count on Amazon, and of course, I get a piece of every consumer electronics item somebody buys on the site when they've clicked through me, so...
I mean, honey, even Dan Rather couldn't get along with her, you know? So...
Mom, have you asked them to sequester your Virginia Slims?
Sweetie, why are you reading so much? You know, I hate to be but it makes me think that maybe the corporate consulting isn't using enough of your energy.
Well, it's okay for you to think that, but please don't voice that sentiment to the people I'm consulting for. But no, Mom, I'm merely spending the time I used to set aside for the task of renewing Western civilization and redirecting it into the reviewing of light fiction for a personal page on a website. It's not really that different.
Sadie, whatever you do that gives you the satisfaction of shifting the paradigm, that's what makes me happy. But
thanks.
Didn't you think that given the tragic overtones of the whole thing that Connie should have worn a matte finish lipstick? I mean, doesn't the fact that she didn't tell you more than you wanted to know?
Mom, if you look at things a certain way, almost everything tells you more than you want to know. So look, I'm already a chapter and a half behind.
I know what you're up to, honey. You're trying to break the Guinness World Record for online book reviewing.
Mom, of course I wouldn't.
You always were such a competitive little bugger.
So you understand why I have to go now?
Of course, duty.
Good.
It's just a mother's feeling nostalgic for when you used to write inconsequential books instead of reading them.
Mm-hmm.
But look, honey, if you happen to talk to Tom DeLay, maybe suggest to him that he offer Gary Condit an open door to joining our party, honey. I mean, you know, if America views the Democrats as the Connie Chung party, then that's great for us, isn't it?
Mom, Chapter 3 is calling.
Okay. Bye, sweetie.
Bye, Mom.
Do I hear you saying you got hurt? Did you say that she's a flim-flam flirt? Are you saying that some double-dealing doll went and did you dirt? Well, bub, welcome, welcome, welcome to the club. Now you know the feeling when you're stung. Now you know why torchy songs are sung. So you stumble down the ladder of love to the bottom rung. Well, bub, welcome, welcome, welcome to the club. Here, don't look so gloomy, look here, here, here. It's happened to me, so have no fear. Love went and threw me, but we all snap back, Mac. 10 to 1, you give up wondering why. Why she gave you up for that new guy. But until you find the kiss that makes you kiss all your blues goodbye, well, bub, welcome, welcome, welcome to the club. But until you find the kiss that makes you kiss all your blues goodbye, well, bub, a well, 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 welcome, a well, 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 welcome, well, 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 welcome to the club.
ladies and gentlemen, maybe you'd like to hear a sample of Newt Gingrich's book reviewing style. How about this? Cold Paradise by Stuart Woods, 4 stars. Quote, it is cheerfully put together nonsense, but if you like the Stone Barrington series, you will not be able to put this book down. The Portrait of Palm Beach is well done, and the intricacies of greed, lust, and revenge blend together into a twisted tale that will keep your attention until the last page. That's 4 stars out of 5. Cheerfully put together nonsense. Raves Newt Gingrich. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't follow that unless you have no thumbs or shave all your body hair. So that will do it for this edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time. Or this same show will be here next week at the same time. Over these same stations, over NPR worldwide, throughout Europe, on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the Armed Forces Network, on shortwave at WBCQ The Planet, 7.415 megahertz, and on your computer, whenever you want it, in the full version, hopefully. Jason not going to have another baby this week. At two locations, www.harryshearer.com and www.kcrw.com. And it would be just like everybody having their thumbs if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? All righty, thank you very much. Email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. No attachments, please. The show Internet Services by Steve Mack. From Santa Monica, a hearty Das Vidanya to you all. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the place where the dat machines almost never work, and the home of the homeless.